Today's our official day that we're you and I are together in the studio since the Louisville Truck Show.
Yeah, we've been busy.
Yeah, we've been real busy, and I am glad to be back because it is tiring. Doing shows actually sucks. I mean, I don't want to say it that way, but I said it that way. You wear out. Like, you got to travel, you got to cart your stuff, then you got to take your stuff in, and then we got, like, some expensive equipment. So we're lugging it in and out every day, you know, this stuff that we want to not be left alone. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's just like, it takes you forever to get back and unpacked and then get your head out of the clouds. So our heads are hopefully out of the clouds.
I know, mine still sometimes is up there. Yeah. It's like a helium balloon. I got to pull it down a little.
But you know, I shouldn't, I don't want people to think that the show sucked.
No, the show was awesome.
You know, while you're at the show, you know, talking to people and, you know, doing interviews and all that good stuff, it's actually great. I had a great time. It's mm-hmm. just the logistics of getting there and doing everything, getting into the hotel. And you know what else sucks about this show, those real big shows? There's always a convention in town, which is the truck show itself. And so we were at the Gold House, and it was jam-packed. And then who else was there?
The Bridge Club.
Yeah, the Bridge Club. It's like, okay, so now we've got a bunch of 70 to 90-year-olds, and there was a billion of them. So along with the truck convention, you've got 70 to 90-year-olds by the gross. And when you go to get in the hotel elevator,
it was horrible.
It was like, it was horrible because I've never seen people that weren't afraid of elevators as much as the seniors. I'm not putting them down. It was comical because we would be in the elevator, and how many people would be in the elevator?
About 50.
55 million. Mm-hmm. And then, like, it would stop on a floor, and some elderly person would go, I think there's room. And they'd squeeze in, and everybody be like, how are you getting in here?
What's so funny is they were the group at one point. They would be like, oh, no, you got to stay away. You're sick. You're this, you're that, because I'm old. My immunity's bad. Whatever excuse they wanted to pull up because they didn't want to be near you.
You're talking about during COVID times?
Yeah, it's gone. It is absolutely gone. Bridge is in. And forget every other rule of personal space because you have none.
Yeah, they definitely.
I mean, some of them were really nice. We met some great people.
Yeah. So, anyways, just kind of, you know, pointing out, like, everything that the behind the scenes stuff when you go to these big truck shows, it's just jam packed with people in the hotels. And then, like I said, the downfall this time was another giant convention was at the same hotel.
Yeah, it was big.
It was just insane trying to get an elevator and blah, blah, blah.
And they didn't have steps that you could use just to walk up.
Yeah, no, they don't have steps. But I had a great time. The mm-hmm. show was awesome.
Met lots of guests.
But very tiring. Yes, we had a lot of people that came on the show, and we did interviews with them. You know, thank you to everybody that, you know, sat down with us and had interviews. Thank you. What's our friend's name?
Eugenia.
Yeah.
Finally got to see her face to face.
Yeah, we met Eugenia.
And we met quite a few of our fans, but it was really nice to see.
I wasn't really talking about Eugenia, but yes, it's awesome to meet Eugenia. She hung out with us, but I'm a bad name person. His wife made us a cake.
A Mahood?
Mahood?
Mahood.
Yeah. Great guy. I mean, really, he's actually been with us at both shows and hung out with us.
Yeah.
And he's awesome. I mean, he's very polite gentleman. And, you know, just thank you to everybody. And if I get your names wrong, you know, don't shoot me. I literally have, you know, a bad memory when it comes to names. I guess it's because we have a million people, you know, we're always talking to, and it's just, they fly in and out. But we do love everybody. We appreciate everybody. It's just our world, the trucking world we're in.
What was really cute is sometimes you could tell that one of our fans was walking by, but they were too afraid to approach us because he'd, like, side-eye us in, like, a sneaky way. And then every now and then when I'd be looking at, I'd see, like, their hand go up and do, like, a little wave.
Yeah.
Like, hi.
Well, the one guy, I mean, they're such great people, truck drivers, and not everybody is, you know, outgoing, like you said. And the one guy's wife came up to us, and she's like talking to us. She said, yeah, it's my husband really likes the show. And I'm like, well, where's your husband? She goes, oh, he's right over there. He won't come over. we're like, get over here, man. You know, come on over.
I don't bite, honestly, no matter what Troy says.
Yeah. So anyways, we enjoyed it. Looking forward to hopefully coming back next year. And let's get to the show, Ruthann. We're sitting here just reminiscing about the truck show.
Babbling.
I want to take a break in a second, but I just want everybody to know I've got some really interesting stuff this week about like the most tolls, the expensive tolls, bridge tolls, you know, stuff that truckers face all the time. And I just kind of want to run by everybody. And the reason I want to do this, because I was reading up on tolls, and there's one state that has the absolute most tolls than everybody, and you'll be surprised what state that is. And I will give you a hint. It's not New York like everybody would think that it is. You know, they got the big thruway and all that other stuff and all the bridge tolls. But we'll be naming that. You've got something with electric vehicles, which is awesome. You also got a scam that people are trying to pretend to be the FMCSA on, and we'll get to that as soon as we get done this little break, and we will be right back. If you're a driver looking for a new trucking job, check out NCI. NCI offers the following: new Kenworth T680s, competitive wages, solo, team, and students welcome, plus a full benefit package for you and your family. Check them out today at 888-311-7076. That's 888-7076. And tell them TalkCDL sent you. Hey, drivers, are you sick of watching the other drivers bypass the weigh station while you are held up going through yourself? Well, download DriveWise today at www.drivewise.com. That's DriveWyze.com. And start bypassing the scales yourself. If you're a small carrier, an owner-operator, or even a big fleet looking for something better, check out DriveWise today. And remember, there's no equipment, no transponders needed when you're using DriveWise. Check them out for a free download at www.drivewyze.com. Drivers, if you're looking for a local, home, everyday driving job, apply with Carter Lumber today. They have positions for Class A and Class B local drivers. They can take experienced drivers, students, and non-CDL drivers. With over 160 locations, chances are they have a position for you. So go to carterlumber.com/talkCDL and apply today. Again, that's carterlumber.com/talkCDL. Thank you. Truck Parking Club is a network of instantly reservable daily and monthly truck parking locations throughout the U.S. Truck Parking Club helps connect truckers to truck parking locations throughout the U.S. via truckparkingclub.com. Our networks is made up of property owners that have locations adequate for truck parking to list on the platform. This includes trucking companies, storage companies, CDL schools, trailer leasing companies, real estate investors, truck parking operators, and more. Go to truckparkingclub.com today. All right, we are back. And you, interesting, you were starting to tell me something before the show. And you know me, like I tell like all the guests, don't tell me now. It's better. I think it's better radio when you are just right from the heart and you can get people's first reaction. So I want to hear about this electric thing. You were talking about money wise. And it's interesting that you're going to be talking about electric vehicles, because I got a little bit of a insight over the weekend on something other than the semis. But anyways, what do you got?
So when you think of an electric vehicle and you think of it coming into the industry, a lot of people didn't really think of all the dynamics of it. I mean, the whole big circle of it. So I was reading an article, and they're stating it's going to take approximately $1 trillion for the conversion to go into electric in the trucking industry. Now, that's not including the tractor, the electric tractor. That's just to accommodate the electric tractor. So if you break it down, the actual infrastructure investment alone, upwards of $620 million. It's actually $620 billion.
$620 billion.
Yeah, I got
dollars.
Yes.
Okay.
So the actual $1 trillion in infrastructure investment alone, upwards of $620 billion for the trucking industry in charges, site infrastructure, and electric service upgrades. So that's to get that portion of it. Then $370 billion is for the utilities portion of it with the grid networks to meet the surge in demand of the commercial vehicles. So think about it. You know how sometimes with you have power surges and so forth with your electric. Now think about a whole fleet of tractors needing to charge up in the evening. What's it going to do to that grid of your electricity in your area? Like if you live near a truck stop or if, you know, just for that power. So to accommodate that is another portion. Now, granted, remember, this isn't even including the tractor. And it's not including what the trucking company itself is going to have to invest to accommodate for it. So the utility share of the financial burden is nearly the equivalent of what was spent in the entire power distribution spent over the last 15 years. So what they spent over the last 15 years, they're going to want these utility companies to spend in a short amount of time over the next few years just to get it ready for it. Where is that extra cost going to go to?
Well, I will tell you that the electric vehicle industry is really not doing as good as anybody would like to let on as far as manufacturers go. I mean, if we're being honest, people are running from electric vehicles right now. People that wanted electric cars are actually wanting gas power now. A friend of mine that has a Tesla car, literally has gone through so many breakdowns that, in fact, I was with him over the weekend. His car broke down, right? And it wasn't even his, it was his brother's car. And his brother got on the phone and he said, let's sell this thing. He said, he had one of those Hyundai electric vehicles himself. The other guy did. And because of the charging stations, none around, he had to sell it. People are running, believe it or not, people are running from electric vehicles right now. You and I both know it's no secret in the north where it's cold, people can't charge them that well. It's not easy. If they go in water, like a deep puddle, they can short out. You and I vacation on an island, an undisclosed island, a lot. And the island has no cars and all electric golf carts. And what is the main problem on the island?
It's the golf carts dying.
It's the golf carts dying. And the problem is, you know, when it rains on the island, if there's big puddles, how many times have we seen people's golf carts just sitting in the puddle because they're going through a puddle and it shorts out? I'm not saying all cars are going to do that. But, you know, last year when Hurricane Ian came in South Florida, they said there is an amazing amount of electric cars that were just killed because of water. Look, I'm not for or against electric cars. I tell you, I like the Tesla when I'm driving in it. It's a nice vehicle. But the problems and the costs like you're showing, it just adds up to a nightmare. Car dealers are being told that they feel duped because they were having to invest in electric cars, and it's just not where they want it to be. It's just not near what they want it to be. The earth is full of fuel for that will accommodate gas-powered motors.
I agree. I don't like I don't like electric personally, because you drain the battery when you heat it. You drain the battery when you're cooling down. I don't see the purpose of it, because all in all, by the very end, you're using the same amount of power to power it. You're charging it. You're doing all that. There's no different than what you would do if you were putting gas in it. To me, it's all the same.
You know, one of the things that I like about Tesla is they give you an 8-year unlimited warranty, right? So, like, for example, my friend, they've probably gone through 2 motors that Tesla just replaced. But so you're, a lot of times you're broke down. The other thing is with batteries, as soon as you start using them, they get weaker and weaker and weaker. So think about a semi truck for a second. Do you have a chart on the mileage range right now? I know they were trying to say that they're trying to get upwards of 500 miles on one charge for a semi truck, and it takes forever to recharge a semi truck, okay, to a full capacity. So if you could get 500 miles, okay, and I would imagine it depends on the weight of the load, the mountains or flatlands you're driving on, wind, all that stuff. How long actually are you going to get out of it? And of course, how a driver steps down on the fuel also. My guess is, not my guess, I don't think electric vehicles are ready to take over the United States just yet. I don't even think it's close.
Well, it states that the on-site charging infrastructure, what I was talking about with the companies are going to have to invest $496 billion just to have the charging capacity at their own lot for these trucks. So needing an average charging infrastructure investment of $145,000 per vehicle for heavy duty versus $54,000 for a medium truck. So the medium ones being like the Pepsi ones and stuff that they have going on, those weren't near as much. But they feel as though that they are going to require for long-haul vehicles an investment of $69 billion into reliable local on-route charging network before the fleets can even get to that point. What the whole thing was is, if you think about it, the cost to get started and the cost for all this to go through is going to end up boiling down to us paying for it, because the electric grid that's going to have to get bumped up to hold the capacity is going to go right back to the consumer. So it's going to go back to us. The freight to be hauled, we're going to end up paying more for it for the companies to be able to afford it. So we're going to end up paying more and more and more to be able to handle these electric trucks going out onto the road. And it's a $1 trillion investment. So the $1 trillion investment is really going to come from us, because we're going to have to invest in this money by the freight being a higher expense, by electricity being a higher expense. And
when you say by us, you mean probably in taxes. Is that what you're saying? Because, like, obviously we're not just going to pull money out of our pocket. So it's just going to come in some kind of a tax.
Tax product.
Think about this also. Like you were saying about the companies, you know, investing. Can you imagine what Swift or a J.B. Hunt, if they were to convert their whole fleet, and I believe Swift has like 20,000 plus vehicles. Okay. Imagine having to convert your terminals, just like you said, not even including the trucks, setting up the charging stations for these trucks at your place. And the one thing that I've learned, like from Sam, my friend that has this Tesla, okay, it costs him about $50 a month to leave his car there in his garage and charge it, okay? But if you go out on the road, if you go on a trip, when you pull in to fuel up at an electric station, most people are paying about the same as they do for fuel, okay? So you're not really safe. There's not really any savings like you think there was supposed to be this huge savings by going to electric, right? And it's not like they thought it was going to be. Most people are paying huge money for the supercharging and stuff like that, where they got to pull in when they're on a trip. Unless you stay local in your own area, electric vehicles are probably better if you're within a 50-mile radius of your house. You know what I mean? To where you can charge at your house and save money. But other than that, it's just not worth it. And the just the way they, I think he said for his Tesla, are you ready for this number? 23,000 just for him to replace the battery pack if that goes on his car. 23 grand. That's crazy.
Yeah.
So I wonder what is the battery packs costing on a semi truck? It's got to be insane. You know, the replacement costs. I don't want to get political. Okay. But let's be honest. Okay. This entire earth that we live on is nothing but one big fuel cell. Shell turns into fuel. You have natural gas, which is not a great, which semi-truck natural gases, I don't really particularly like them either. But you have so much fuel on this planet, and it's constantly rejuvenating fuel. That's what people don't realize, okay? I don't see how you could run out of fuel in this planet in order to, and you need fuel to convert electricity anyways. So it's six in one, half a dozen another. It's really, like you said, just costing the people money. Is that it's really what it comes down to.
Well, yeah. I mean, like you're saying with Swift, if you average 154,000 or 145,000 just for the charging station, now tack on the price of the tractor on top of that. That's what per tractor it's going to cost for them to be able to raise or to get that. Now, in the end of this article, the quote that was made was really a great quote. It says, an industry with a yearly turnover of about $800 billion and a profit margin around 5% cannot invest $620 billion without financial support or a significant increase in freight rates.
Which means the people get jacked.
It means that all the freight that they're carrying, you know, let's just use, you know, paper products as an example. Well, we pay so much on paper products to begin with. Now, for them to ship it, it's going to end up being a raise. So what happens is the industry is all going to have the raise on the product itself. So the product gets raised, the shipping rates get raised. We pay a higher rate than for that roll of paper towels or toilet paper or whatever we want to say. It's just going to be we are going to end up paying for the trucking industry to get the electric tractors out on the road when there is no need for it.
You know, it's funny you say about paper products or something like that, because I want to move on here in a second, but I was just talking to somebody the other day. You can't go into Walmart, for example, and pick up three or four items in the grocery area and it be under $70, it seems like. Like you walk in there and it's $50, $70, $90, and you're looking at your little bag and you're going, what the heck did I buy? And that's a result of the freight going up. That's
exactly what it is.
It's a result of inflation. And you know, for this electric vehicle thing to really get pushed even more, you know,
It's going to send the regular people, these normal people that are out there making a living, just getting by, it's going to throw them into a serious downfall because they're not going to be able to afford the increase in the rates because our income increase isn't going to happen. If anything, everything's going to be going up and the income's not going to go up enough.
Well, before we move on, I just want to mention one last thing about this. I'm not going to mention groups again or political blah, blah, blah. But there was groups of people fighting for $15 to $20 an hour minimum wage. And that also has a contribution to all this, all these high freight rates. And when you start saying McDonald's workers get $15 and $20 an hour, next thing you know, you go into Wendy's or McDonald's and it's $30, $40, $50 for a family to eat. It's insane. Mm-hmm. So, you know, people are pricing themselves out. Between that, electric vehicles, it's almost like I'm living in insanity, but I guess we'll just see what happens here in the future. You know, are electric vehicles going to come into play? I don't even think they're 10% of the vehicles on the road. I know that they're calling for all this stuff by certain years to be converted to electric and blah, blah, blah. But I'll tell you what, and this is how I'll end this segment. for us to get to a lot of electric vehicles, even 50%, there's going to be a lot of what you call growing pains for the little people more than anybody. It's going to be a lot of suffering. And that's all I'm going to say. I think we should move on.
Moving on.
Ruthann, you got a scam that you had mentioned. Why don't you pull that up real quick?
Yeah.
And let's talk about that for a second. And then I just want to kind of go over this toll thing.
So there was an article in Overdrive that I was reading, and it caught my eye because it was stating that there was a scam that people are imposing of being a FMCSA worker. And what it is this drone trucking company, it's called True Love Family Trucking, they notified the FMCSA because they got an email from this imposter stating that they're needing to do a safety audit. Well, Norman True Love, said it's really weird that they had gotten this email. The extension of the email looked just like the FMCSA's. It was just slightly different, and he was able to catch it. It was like one of the dashes or something like that. So anyways, what he said is what happened was is this email was saying that it was time for them to do an audit, that it's done especially on new companies. Well, he's like, my company's not new. I've been in business for years. So that's another marker that threw him off, saying something's wrong here. First, they're saying that I was a new company. Second, the email was kind of off. So he contacted FMCSA, and they said, yeah, they're having an issue where there are people being imposters trying to put themselves off as being part of the FMCSA, and that what they're doing is when you go in, there's a link in the email that they want companies to click. When they click that link, they're asking for information on the company. First of all, FMCSA has your information. They don't need you to put more in. But this is how they're getting the companies then, is they're getting this information, detailed information about the company, and using that information then to go and do their dastardly deeds of selling it out, or, and you know, maybe posing as that company and taking their FMCSA numbers or their MC numbers or DOT numbers or whatever they're doing to try and destroy the company in the long run.
Yeah, or like you said, the ultimate goal with scammers is really to make money. So somehow, you know, they're making money off getting your information. It's to be honest with you, it's no different like Facebook and social media. You'll have people that are phishing scams. They'll send a message to you saying, hey, your page is in violation. We're with Meta or Facebook, and we need you to click on this. And, you know, obviously, if you click on it, it wants you to put your passwords in, you know, and that's really all their goal is mm-hmm. to get your information so that they can take over something or get in and see maybe your credit card information or whatever the case is. Their whole goal is to get in your account, and that would be no different most likely than what that's doing. So yeah, so if you're a trucking company, if you ever get anybody, I don't care what you are, if you're a trucking company or just a regular individual civilian, and somebody's asking you for your information, if they are with a place that you're supposedly doing business with, like Ruthann just said, they should already have all your information. Like, for example, Facebook, why would you need to put your password in to somebody that's looking to correct a alleged scam? Well, the bottom line is Facebook already has your information. Just mm-hmm. like you said, FMCSA, they don't need your information. They have everything on you they need to be able to access all your stuff. So just don't give stuff out.
Right.
You never should have to give your information to anybody that's contacting you. Now, obviously, if you're contacting somebody to do business, then they'll need your information.
Right.
But when someone contacts you, don't give out your information. Just that simple.
Yeah, you want to be very careful if there's something that you're not, you know, when you get anything like that, honestly, the best thing to do is just call them. Say, hey, I got an email from you stating that you're needing to do this. I want to know more about it. Don't just accept it and do what they say.
You know, it almost reminds me of these scammers that will call you, like the state policeman's ball or the troopers association or whatever. And they'll call, can we count on you to give a donation? And they're legally allowed to collect in on behalf of them, but they only give the actual foundation 15%, and they keep 85% because legally they're supposed to be obligated to give 15% to the cause. So it's just a scam. Everybody wants a scam. Everybody wants your money. Be careful and do like Ruth Ann said, contact the people directly if someone's needing your information.
Correct.
Can we move on?
Moving on.
All right, Ruth Ann, tolls.
Tell me about them.
Well, I mean, obviously you've paid enough. Let's start with, you know, there's a million tolls in this country. There really is. Tolls everywhere. Bridge tolls, road tolls, tunnel tolls, all that. What state do you think has, I mean, obviously everybody thinks that New York has the most tolls in the country. Cause it, like when you talk to truckers, they're like, oh yeah, them tolls in New York, man. I you know, I don't want to go up there in the Northeast. There's more tolls there than anywhere. What state do you think, if you had to guess, has the absolute most tolls in the United States?
Well, honestly, I would say maybe two different states, one being like Florida, because we have like a lot of toll roads. And
that's because you live in Florida.
Yeah. But I would honestly say that it was probably more of a Midwestern state, like Michigan.
No. But I will tell you, honestly, your first guess is correct. Florida has the most toll roads in the United States, which I was surprised at that. I was super surprised. It's 719 miles of toll roads in the state of Florida, which is insane. I never realized Florida blows everybody away for the most.
Well, we travel two of them often.
I mean, isn't that crazy though when you think about it? Here, listen to a couple stats here. Now, this is the most expensive toll roads. Florida's not the most expensive. Florida has the most roads. The most expensive road and in the United States is, are you ready? The Pennsylvania Turnpike.
Really?
Yeah.
I think I read an article on that.
Yeah, Pennsylvania Turnpike is absolutely the most expensive toll road. The second would be the Whiteface Mountain Memorial Highway in New York. Then you got the Ronald Reagan Turnpike, and then you got the Ohio Turnpike next. Let's see here. The top five cheapest tolls in the United States: the Boulevard Bridge in Virginia, the Goldenrod Road Extension in Florida, the Memorial Bridge in West Virginia, Virginia State Route 195, and the Newell Toll Bridge in West Virginia. And I have the prices on here, but I don't want to give them because when somebody listens to this podcast in 5 years, it may be different. You know what I mean? The costs, obviously. Mm-hmm. In 5 years, people will be going, it ain't like that. It ain't that cost anymore. You need to update your podcast. So I just figured we wouldn't put the actual cost in it. Most expensive bridge tolls. As of right now, 2024, the Verrazano.
I was going to say it has to be the New York then. That's where New York comes in.
Yeah, New York does, you know, get up on the top somewhere. There's no doubt about it. And that's with asking for money. But the Verrazano Bridge currently is the most expensive. It's less than a mile long, but it is the absolute most expensive toll as far as a bridge goes. Second would be the GW, which is really, technically, New York Bridge also. Not technically, it is a New York bridge. So New York has the one and two spots for bridge tolls. And they are very expensive. Again, I'm not going to give the prices. Truck drivers already know what they pay to get the hell in New York. It's a nightmare. Number three would be the Golden Gate Bridge in California. That is the number three most expensive. And then the fourth expensive bridge in America would be the Tacoma Narrows Bridge in Washington. Okay. Now, tunnels. The most expensive tunnel, again, is going to be the top two, the Lincoln and the Holland Tunnel going into New York City. The Anton Anderson Memorial Bridge in Alaska is number two, being that the Holland and the Lincoln are tied for number one. Fort McHenry Tunnel in Maryland is number three. The Hugh Carey Tunnel in New York would be number four. And the Queens Midtown Tunnel in New York. So New York owns all the top tunnel tolls in America, except for the Alaska Tunnel being number two. Now, check this out. I've got a list of tunnels, or not tunnels. Can't even talk right now. I've got a list of states that don't even have a toll. So did you know that there's states that don't even have one toll?
Well, I guess I would just have thought that there was, you know, there's now, some that's not traveled near as much.
Yeah. Now, this is according to World Population Review, which is an interesting site. And this is 2024. This is the latest 2024. But here's a list of states that don't even have a toll. According to them, Montana.
That was going to be my first pick.
What, Montana?
In my hand, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, true. Yeah, Montana, North Dakota, Wisconsin, Idaho, Wyoming, South Dakota, Iowa doesn't have a toll. You would think that they do, but they don't. Now, this one, this state here is going to blow your mind that I really am sitting there going, are you sure this state don't have a toll? Connecticut. You would think out of all, you know, it's like every other state in New England, New York, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Maryland, Delaware, all those states going north, right, don't have tolls except for little old Connecticut right there in the mix. Isn't that weird? Yeah, I get it. I see the look. Nevada. I guess it's all in the gambling out there. They don't charge tolls. They're going to get you one. They're going to get you with the slot machines. They're not going to get you with the toll roads.
Yeah, I thought there was a toll from Las Vegas to Henderson. I thought there was a toll there.
Yeah, I mean, this is what they're saying. Nevada, no. New Mexico, also. Arkansas don't have tolls.
So there's a lot of states that don't have tolls.
I know. I'm still going through them. Listen, New Mexico, Arkansas, Tennessee, Arizona, no tolls. Mississippi, no tolls. And last but not least, Hawaii. All those states, zero tolls.
See, I thought Hawaii had tolls because of constantly having to do work on their roads from the volcanoes and stuff.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy what states are insane with tolls. It's Florida. And you know what? Florida is... It might be the most visited state there is.
It's a tourist.
It's not just tourists. Remember, we have spring training. So that you have like a gigantic crowd that comes every year. You have the snowbirds. They come around November, December, and they're here for 4 or 5 months. So we almost double in population every year because of them. Then you've got the world, you know, Disney World. So you've got one of the most, you know, Disney is like in the top three, I think, cities. Or Orlando, rather, is in the top three cities worldwide visiting.
Yeah.
So you've got that coming in. You've got... So we do have a lot of travelers on our road, which would make it probably a necessity to charge so that they can keep up on maintenance.
Yeah, I also forgot the cruise ships.
Well, you got people coming in. That's one of the biggest cruise areas, people flying in. Like you said, Fort Lauderdale, Tampa, all those ports are just huge with people coming in. And then on top of it, you got the winter... where just people randomly are like sick and tired of the weather. So, you know, how many people just say, you know what, let's fly to Florida and do a weekend. You know, how often does that happen? A lot, all winter long. So Florida is overrun. And of course, Florida is one of the biggest states where people are moving into constantly. So 719 roads of toll. You know, just expect it when you come down here. You will pay a toll in Florida eventually, I promise you.
Yes, and they pay by toll is by your plate. So they take a picture of your license plate.
Right. So, you know, when truckers come down to Florida, you know, what's funny is we travel a lot over to Orlando and we see Route 33, you know, going north and south. Mm-hmm. I've never seen a back road. Now, this is a one-lane road. It's one lane going one north, one lane going south. There's no four-lane that I've seen on 33, at least from 50 down. And you and I, we run down that way a lot to avoid going all the way over and down 27 and all that other crap, right? We take that little shortcut and then whatever that little back road is over to Claremont. Well, How many truckers do we see on that road?
That's all that passes us.
Unbelievable. It's like, it's like a trucker secret. I don't know if they think it's a secret. It's definitely not. But that must be one of the roads where truckers are avoiding tolls. And you know, obviously 75. There's no toll on 75, but it's a toll coming off of Wildwood area there that runs over to Orlando and then down to Miami. So truckers are constantly trying to avoid the tolls, and 33 is one of them. So if you're a driver and you're coming in and someone tells you to take 33, you know, it moves pretty good.
It's not slow.
Yeah, it moves along pretty good. But I'm surprised there's not more accidents on that road because people are taking chances trying to pass people, you know, on the single lane road.
You know where there's been a lot of backup that I've noticed lately is when we get on the toll there at 75, when we're getting on and going south and then going over towards Orlando, the opposite direction coming from there, getting on 75 north, there has been backups like you would not believe there. And I can't tell what it is for, but literally it's been miles of backups.
Accidents. Do you remember the other day when we were getting on the toll, there was, it was nothing but northbound lane was shut down. The toll road coming into I-75, which is running west, that was all, everything was just shut down. Mm-hmm. And then when we were getting on the toll, there was a truck driver, he was stopped, you know, because of whatever backup was, and somebody ran into him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And if you remember that, the entire car was a shell. So it was like one accident was on 75, and then you had like this other insane, and it looked like people probably died in that accident because the car was just one big shell.
It was
halfway underneath the tractor trailer. And, you know, you see some crazy accidents of people surviving. So, you know, prayers for that family, but it doesn't look like one of those accidents where at least one person wasn't killed in.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, 75 is a mess. The toll road is a mess. The Florida, I will tell you guys, if you want to avoid Florida in the busiest time, the month of March is the most expensive time to be in Florida. The hotels are double price. That's when we also forgot about spring break.
Mm-hmm.
So you got the spring training, you got the spring break, you got the snowbirds. Everything is going on in March. It's all expensive. The roads are packed. Accidents are everywhere. If you're trying to avoid Florida, if you're wanting to come to Florida just for a vacation, I mean, obviously, if you get a load to Florida, you know, you're a driver. You got to come down here and make your living. But if you're listening and you're planning your vacations in Florida, avoid March. I'm going to tell you that right now. You'll save money. Mm-hmm. You'll save aggravation. When you go to the parks, the lines are insane. You will not get on many rides if you're coming to Disney in March because it's insane. So my advice to you guys, drivers and everything, you know, if you're trying to avoid Florida at a certain time of the year, March is the month you want to avoid.
It is. I don't like March in Florida that much.
May and October are like the two.
Shh.
Yeah. That's the void. You avoid that too. all right, Ruthann, do you have the word of the day? Let's move on to that.
I do.
Yeah, it's good to be back in the studio.
You missed me. You really missed me.
We got some super interviews coming up. I have an interview coming up with an FBI agent, literally, that tracks serial killers on the road. I'm serious. It's amazing. You'll hear that. This guy, I know. I didn't even tell you.
Yeah, I'm like, ooh.
Yeah, you won't believe the numbers. You won't even. Craziness. What's the word of the day? FBI. Remember on Married with Children when Christina Applegate, what was her character? Kelly? And the FBI raided their home and she goes, you FBI guys, get out of here. Remember that? Instead of FBI, she said FBI. You FBI guys. Because it said FBI in the back of her.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I find that hilarious. You don't.
Well, I wasn't a big Married with Children watcher.
I was. Go on. What's the word? Word of the day.
Royster.
Royster?
Royster.
Royster. R-O-Y-S-T-E-R. Royster.
R-O-I-S-T-E-R.
Interesting.
Royster.
Okay. Tell me about royster.
It's a verb. And it is enjoy oneself or celebrate in a noisy or boisterous way.
So enjoying oneself in a boisterous way? What, like loud and obnoxious type of?
Yeah, like, you know, just.
Isn't boisterous mean kind of loud and obnoxious?
Not obnoxious. It's just very into it. Boisterous is very loud and very.
Disrupting. I mean, to me, when somebody all of a sudden gets really loud, it's like disrupting. You know what I mean? But maybe I'm just thinking different. I'm thinking my way.
Well, I mean, it's boisterous could be similar to that, but I always thought boisterous was just maybe a level down from what you're thinking, maybe. Boisterous is just loud, but maybe not obnoxious, but you, loud noises are obnoxious, so.
Okay. All right, well, we appreciate everybody. We're really glad to be back in the studio, and if there is, you know, anybody that wants to, you know, get on the show, you know, we're doing interviews this year. I've got some lined up. If you got some interesting trucking stuff, please, by all means, contact us at troy@talkcdl.com or Ruthann, R-U-T-H-A-N-N, at talkcdl.com. We're out of here, Ruthann.
Peace.
Praise the Lord.